All right. Come on back here, man.
So,
doing well. Good to see you. Pull up a seat.
Yeah. Been a good seat, man.
Brought in a whole posse.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm rolling deep.
Yeah, man. Look at you. You're like Johnny Manziel or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. This one right here.
This one?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Joined now by the president of the UFC, Dana White, who's been kind enough to bring the UFC back to Houston. And this is the fifth time you guys have been here for a pay-per-view, sixth time overall. And I went back, and I've been to every fight here, and I wanted to throw some fights that happened here at you. And every time you come out, you always say, Houston's a great fight town. We always put on a good show.
Houston is a great fight town. Texas is a great fight state.
Well, I'm pissed off because you went to Dallas twice in a row.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, where'd we go? Dallas, and not come to Houston before?
Yeah.
Well, what about San Antonio?
They got one, too.
Oh, they did? All right.
Dallas, since the last Houston card, Dallas
Austin?
Got two pay-per-views. San Antonio and Austin both got a card.
There's a lot of great places to go here. We're finally back. Listen to me. I love this city. This city's awesome. This city is such a fun town in so many different ways. I don't know if you guys know the rapper Trey the Truth. Guy just showed up at my hotel with two huge boom boxes at my hotel and doing all this stuff with us. And he was telling me the story. I was on the phone. I did an Instagram live today with J.J. Watt.
I saw that.
Yeah. Then I met this guy, Trey the Truth. The people in Houston are such good people and are so into the community here in Houston. You don't find too many people in other cities that are really into the community and truly give back. This city's unbelievable in that way. It's very, very cool. He told me that he just bought, Trey the Truth just told me he bought a bigger truck so that when floods happen, he can save more people.
Derek Lewis did the same thing.
Right, I know. And Derek, too, and J.J. Watt raised $37 million.
Yeah.
Unheard of, man. This is. I'm not just saying this. I'm telling you this is a very cool city. So to counter your attack of me, I'm not coming back to Houston. I love this city.
I like to think that Mick will
talk you know Mick,
too? Oh, yeah. I fought for Mick in Legacy.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, so, yeah. I know
cool
Mick very well.
Yeah. But believe me, Mick is another. Now, Mick is Australian, right? But he has turned into
he's full
a
more.
Houston guy. Yeah, he is a Houston guy. He's even gotten into like baseball and basketball and all that stuff and got away from cricket and rugby and all the
nonsense.
Other stupid stuff they play over there.
So I pulled up some of the fights that have happened in this town. And if I'm sure you remember these, and I'll remind you if you don't. But if you had fights like this in a town over and over again, you'd want to keep coming back. The first time UFC 69 was here, which that was the biggest upset at the time in UFC history.
Where Sarah
Matt,
GSP.
Matt Sarah beat GSP.
Yep.
But that also had the Roger Huerta-Leonard Garcia fight, which really kind of kicked off the ESPN, like the ESPN, the magazine. It was like a huge...
No, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with that fight.
Maybe a Wheaties... No, that was Anthony Pettis got the Wheaties box. But
yeah, it was Sports Illustrated.
It really blew up
because
it was one of the greatest fights ever. And then next time you guys came back, there were two title fights. There was Edgar Maynard 3, and there was Aldo Kenny Florian. And that card had Nam Pham versus Leonard Garcia on it, which was another just legendary, like...
War.
Yeah. Dudes were just willing to go out and die.
Yep.
And then you brought Kane JDS 3, and I think DC versus Roy Nelson was on that card. And Gilbert Melendez fought Diego Sanchez on that card.
Ridiculous fight.
Knockdown, drag out war. And then last time you guys were here, it was DC and Gustafson, which was a great fight. What if you had to pick a fight on the card this week, what's the fight that you think, man, this could go down as like a legendary fight?
I know this is going to sound like BS because it's the main event, but
okay.
Listen, the problem with this main event fight is that enough people don't know how dangerous Dominic Reyes really is. Everybody knows John Jones great, and you know all the stats and all the things about John Jones. Dominic Reyes is young, fast, has knockout power in both hands, kicks. You know, he's a very well-rounded fighter, and just where he is mentally right now, this guy truly believes he's going to beat John Jones, upset him, and become the next champion. This is a very dangerous fight. Listen, John Jones has not been very good to himself outside of the octagon. And if you look at what he's done and what he's accomplished, and the fact that he's still here and still fighting at this level, it's amazing.
When John and I talked yesterday, And I kind of paralleled what happened to him outside the cage with what happened to GSP inside the cage at USC 69. When he lost that fight, he said to himself, I wasn't taking this seriously enough. I didn't realize what I had.
Right.
And I was just out partying. I was living it up. And I it took me getting embarrassed in front of the world to realize what I was doing wrong. And he changed his life from there. And he took everything super seriously. And he goes down as one of the greatest fighters ever. John didn't have to lose in the cage for that to happen.
Right.
But do you think that 2-3 year period really woke him up and made him realize you're wasting this opportunity?
Here's the thing that's crazy about that. Everything that you just said, usually by the time the guys wake up and realize it, it's too late, you know? But John Jones is such a freak of nature. It hasn't been too late for him. He's still competing at this level. And, you know, it's unheard of to do what he's done outside the octagon and still be here doing it at this level. But one thing I was going to point out to you when you asked me that, so I said, I very rarely do I think the main event will be fight of the night, but I pick that as fight of the night. I think that's going to be fight of the night. If it's not, the other one that has the, it's crazy, they're on complete opposite ends of the card, but the first fight of the night on the UFC Fight Pass prelims, Lingo versus Zalal.
Austin Lingo's a freak.
Right? So if that one doesn't end up being fight of the night, the other one will.
I don't know if that'll be fight of the night. I think that'll be a performance of the night. That kid is amazing, and he's another one of the many guys on this card from Fortis MMA,
right,
which has turned into a real hotbed.
Zalal's a bad boy, too.
Yep.
So that's a very interesting fight. Those are my two picks for fight of the night.
So another thing, looking back at the past fights here, there are so many, and it's funny you mention Austin Lingo, but so many guys have fought on the undercards of these fights that have gone on to either be champions or fight for championships.
Right.
Talis Latest fought on the undercard at UFC 69 against Pete Sell. Demian Maia fought at 136. Anthony Pettis, Stipe Miocic both fought at 136. Tony Ferguson fought on the Cain JDS undercard. And then Derek Lewis and Thug Rose both fought last time that we were here on the undercard. Do you have a guy or girl on the undercard this event that you think has you a future UFC champion or future UFC title contender written on him?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick somebody right off the top of my head, I'd say Dan. Dan has the potential and the talent to get to that level. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him in a featherweight title fight.
Yeah, we had Mursad in here yesterday. That's another dude who's very confident. That's a really good, really well-paired match.
Great fight.
And
this is a great card. I mean, the card is really good. I mean, Latifi and Lewis is going to be fun. You know, the co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko is an absolute beast. And Caitlin feels like she can do it. So we'll see what happens.
When Derek Lewis, he's obviously fighting a guy who's moving up from 205. Is it true that he asked for that fight? Like Ilir Latifi said, I want to fight Derek Lewis?
I guess so, yeah. You know what? A lot of people go after Derek Lewis because they feel like he's one-dimensional.
Yeah.
They feel like if they get him down on the ground, and you better believe Latifi's going to be trying to take that fight to the ground.
But we've seen it so many times. Dudes tire themselves out trying to take him down, and then with 5 seconds left, they get their clock cleaned.
He's fun to watch, man. He's fun, and he's just a fun guy, too. I mean, he's got one of the best Instagrams out there on social media. He's funny. He knocks people out. He's a good human being. You know, he's another one. Him and Trey go around and save people when there's floods. And just a fun guy.
When, in your eyes, did Texas really take off as like a hotbed of talent?
Day one.
Okay. Because for the longest time, there was just Mike Swick was the only guy from Houston, the only guy from Texas, really. And then I guess Daniel Pineda was the next guy from Houston who made it. And then we had Andrew Craig, a few guys. Now it seems like there's 15, 20 guys.
Yeah, it's from day one. You know, when I say hotbed too, I mean in every way possible. You know, we came in here and started doing live events. Texas was, you know, big with UFC from day one. Then it just started to explode. Now people are training, more schools were opening. You know, people are doing jiu-jitsu, people are doing MMA, and this place has been great since day one for us. And like you said, you did your homework. There's been a lot of great fights here. And that's just Houston. That doesn't include Dallas and Austin and everywhere else.
So obviously, and you mentioned, you know, John having a tough matchup on Saturday, and I agree it's a tough matchup, but it seems like the last three fights, they've paired John had Thiago and then Anthony Smith before that. These were guys that were the casual fight fan wasn't super familiar. They're not household names. It almost seemed like he'd beaten Cormier twice. He'd beaten Gustafson twice. It's almost like there were no more natural threats to him. Like he just wiped out the world of 205, and you guys had to create guys to really challenge him.
Which wasn't true. Those guys are legit.
Very.
And those are nasty fights for him. And the thing that kind of sucks is he doesn't get the credit for beating those guys that he should, you know, because they are nasty. It's the same thing with this Dominic Reyes fight. I mean, if I could get Dominic Reyes in two more high profile fights before beating Jones, you know, people would know more about him. But this is the same thing happened. I go up to Toronto, right? And Toronto's a hot market for us, educated fight fans, the whole deal. We go up there, and everybody's complaining about this title fight that I'm bringing to Toronto, which is John Jones versus Gustafsson.
Yeah.
Okay? Ends up being the sickest light heavyweight title fight in history, and Gustafsson almost beats John Jones.
Yeah, I thought he did at the time.
A lot of people did. So everybody's waiting for the big rematch and everything else, but they didn't even see it coming.
Right.
You know, they thought that they were, we're getting this guy Gustafsson. That's what's happening Saturday night here in Houston. This kid, Dominic Reyes, is the real deal, and this is a very tough fight for John Jones and a huge threat to his title reign.
I almost feel bad for John in that, you know, he fought Thiago Santos, who's a really tough dude, a scary
dude.
And a guy who was clearly very game, and John didn't look his best. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, John's washed. He's not what he used to be. It's almost like an unattainable standard that he set for himself.
It's part of being, a guy like John Jones who's gone on a tear like that and done what he's done. You know, everybody expects you to finish everybody. Again, it's them not knowing enough about the guy who he's fighting, and that guy is. Bad, tough, scary, all of the above.
Is it also a thing where once guys reach a certain level of success, if they're not losing, fans tend to find ways to pick apart what they are doing? Like I know, like everyone is like, oh, I think Khabib lost that round. Like that's which he didn't. But I think that's the closest he's come to losing a round. He's not as great as he was. Like, when you're at a certain level of dominance, people are just looking for something to pick at, right?
100%. Listen, this is going to bode well here, but I'm a huge Patriots and Tom Brady fan, okay? Huge. And
the Texans are like the trash can Patriots. We're like the
they're like a Patriots cover band.
Yeah, that's what they are.
That's funny.
They're the Patriots or something stupid.
But, like, 4 years ago, you know, it was one of those years that we didn't win, a Super Bowl, right? Everybody was calling for Tom Brady's head, man. Get rid of this guy. Let's bring in Garoppolo. Garoppolo should be the starting quarterback and all this stuff. Ridiculous. But, you know, it goes when you are the best and you're out there performing, you know, you're always going to have critics. And it's just part of being, part of being an athlete, and it's part of being one of the best in the world.
Do you think John is the kind of guy who you can see, you know, and I always hate having to put the caveat that he's not really undefeated because of the Matt Hamill fight, but
he is undefeated.
Defeated
is when somebody has beat
someone's
you.
Someone's better than you.
Right. Somebody came in and beat you that night and you know, gave you that first loss. John Jones has a loss on his career because it was during a time in Nevada when the athletic commission was the weakest it's ever been. There was a guy who was a referee who was an absolute, when I tell you this guy was a moron, he had no business. He shouldn't have been watching fights on TV, let alone reffing them. That's how bad this guy was. And he gave John Jones a loss on his record, and it's disgusting. It makes me sick. And listen, I haven't had the greatest, relationship with John Jones over the last 10 years either. He's done some things, everything else, but in no way, shape, or form did he deserve to lose that fight. That was a guy that had no business reffing that took that from him. The guy's undefeated. John Jones has never lost a fight.
Does he come across as a guy to you who will, at a certain point, walk away while he's on top? Or do you think, and I don't know, Anderson Silva is a good example of a guy who I think had a chance to walk away on top, but it's very difficult when you're a world-class athlete to say, you know what, I can't do this at the top level anymore. What does John strike you as?
There's two things. When you fight at this level, right? Number one, tomorrow night, we broke the record at the arena for the biggest gate ever in the history of the
record. Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, place is going to be packed. We're in Houston, Texas.
That means we'll see you in 6 months.
Exactly. See you next weekend.
Before Dallas.
Incredible sports town, incredible fight town. The energy is going to be crazy. And when you walk out of that tunnel, right, come out the tunnel, the energy, the excitement, it's hard to walk away from that stuff, right? And number two, the money. It's hard to walk away from the money.
Right.
For what these guys get paid to go in and fight, it's very, very hard to leave.
Does it make you respect guys who do it, like George St. Pierre, who is still, I think, could still show up tomorrow and compete with most guys in a couple weight classes?
Right.
Is it something you say, you know what, kudos to that guy for not letting himself turn into Chuck Liddell?
Yeah. Well, it all depends on how you take care of your money. You know, and George St. Pierre is one of those guys who has. George St. Pierre put his money away and handled his finances smart, like Gronk. If you look at Gronkowski, again, I'm bringing up the Patriots in Houston, but Gronkowski has every dime of the $65 million that he made playing football. Every dime. He lived off his sponsorships and kept his money. If you do that, then you hold all the cards and you can do whatever you want and you can walk away feeling good that you did it at the right time. Or if you don't walk away, you can still continue to compete. But it's sad when you have to do it for the money.
So we've come
but
to
But I guess it's sad we all have to do it for the money, don't we?
Do you really still have to do it for the money anymore?
You guys wouldn't be here anymore. Yeah, no, but...
Well, if they stopped paying you, I'm guessing you wouldn't show up.
Well, the reality is this, is that I truly love this business. I love what I do. And this is the truth, too. I hate four-day weekends. I hate three-day weekends. I like two-day weekends, and I come back on Monday. So I'm in a really unique position. People come up to me all the time and go, dude, you got the best job in the world. And I'm like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I do, and I love it. It hasn't been about the money for me in a very long time.
When you guys first took over the UFC, I mean, we're talking years ago, back when you had hair, which, by the way, anytime I look back and see pictures of myself when I had hair before I started shaving my head, I cringe. Do you do the same way?
Yeah, it's funny because I'll never forget the first time I shaved my head. I looked in the mirror and said, what did I just do? What did I just do? Oh, my God. I got to go walk around and have people see me looking like this. Then once you do it, you can't go back.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't go back.
And you look back at your pictures of yourself with hair, and it's like, why was I trying to hold on to that?
Yeah, I definitely had not conceded that I had receded, and I hung on way too long. I had this thing where I was losing it in the back. So when I looked from the front, I was like, if I can't see it, it isn't there. Yeah. So I would act like, you know, it really wasn't back there. But then I'd see pictures of myself, right?
Oh, damn it.
And then, yeah, it had to go.
So when you're first in the UFC business, did you ever picture it getting to where it's gotten today? Like, was there ever even, like, the hope that it could get to be this level?
Yeah, if you look at interviews for me 15 years ago, I say that this is going to be the biggest sport in the world. We're going to be in every country. We're going to do this and that. But if you're a guy like me in a sport like this, and you know you want to be on ESPN, okay? ESPN is the holy grail for all of sports, but you don't realize how big it is till you're on it. ESPN is the biggest and the baddest sports network on the planet, and they are so good at what they do. Our business is literally on fire right now, and it has been since the day we signed with ESPN. So that's been such a huge game changer for us here. And as we continue to go into these other countries, we finally got France done. So we're going to do our first ever event in Paris this year.
Oh, nice.
So Yeah, that's awesome, man. I guess the answer is yes, but no, not at, you know, certain things that you couldn't dream of. You know, you couldn't think about certain things because you don't know until you're in it.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story from 15 years ago where you said exactly how big you guys were going to be. And you probably won't even remember this, but I think it was 2005. You were going around to every major newspaper and meeting with the sports editors.
That's right.
And that's when we first met. I was sports editor at the Chronicle. And you came in and you start your pitch and I stop you about 30 seconds in and say, dude, I'm in. I just wanted to meet you. And then you start telling me about how you go to all these old fogies in there, and you're making the same pitch of what you guys are now. It's like, we're going to be mainstream. We're going to be ESPN. This is what we're going to be in 15 years. And they're like, oh, it's a human cockfighting and all that stuff. And yeah. my own boss caught me on it. It was stupid.
It's crazy that you remember that and that you know that story. I literally just had this conversation with somebody the other day, and I told him, I literally used to fly all over the country, and I would set up meetings with these editors who were really old guys.
Yep.
You were a young editor.
At the time.
These
yeah,
were
anymore.
Really, really old guys. And they didn't care. First of all, there's not enough room in the newspaper. They're all ball and stick, you know, this and that, or college sports, for, you know, in the local town. There's no room for you. There's no room for you. Then boom. One of the greatest things that happened to this business was technology. Social media. I jumped in the day it started. The internet. Streaming. You know, all these things in technology that happened over the last 15 years have been perfect for the UFC.
And you really never needed them, as it turned out. They need you more now right. than you ever needed them. But it was interesting to me to see that you've grown this into one of the biggest sports in the world and that you had to do that. And I think I told you that time. I think it's silly that you're going around having to do this because you guys in 5 years, they're going to be begging to cover you. And I think we were the first. It was either us or the LA Times were the first one to actually start covering every fight and
doing
that.
That's exactly right.
Yep. And you know, and it was great. And of course, as soon as I resigned, they got rid of it. So,
and now look at it.
This town and this state has been really good to the UFC since day one.
So let me have you look into the crystal ball a little bit and tell me if John is able to get through Saturday night. Do you start looking at a Stipe Miocic super fight for John?
Yeah, listen, I would love that. You know, but that's up to him. He's got to make that decision.
That's up
that
to John or Stipe?
John.
Okay.
Stipe, I'm sure, would love to fight him. But he's got to make the decision that he wants to go up to, you know, heavyweight. If he does it, I'm all in, and I would love it, and I'm sure the fans all want to see it, too.
Do you think he can compete at that weight?
I do. I mean, he's a heavyweight. Yeah. I don't know how.
Daniel
Cormier, I don't know how the hell he makes that weight.
If Daniel Cormier can beat Stipe, then I would say that John Jones has a pretty good chance. Which I also think,
very good point.
John would do it just so he could show Daniel this is how it's done. Just because I think Daniel's still the guy. Who
another good
with
point.
What other fights are coming up beyond this weekend that you're super excited about?
You know, I'm really high on Weili Zhang, and I'm excited for her and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Two gangsters, they hate each other. And on that same card is Yoel Romero, who Israel Adesanya does not have to fight, but wants to fight. And he's literally the only guy I've ever met that wants to fight Yoel Romero.
That's a scary dude.
So, yeah, it's awesome. I'm excited for that whole card. It's in Vegas. Main event and co-main event. And, you know, you got to be excited about Habib and Tony.
That's the one I'm on.
I have 9 shows right now, right? I have 9 shows on sale, right? 5 of them are already sold out. The other ones are fight nights, which will sell out.
Right.
It's just, we have so many good fights coming up in 2020. We had an incredible 2019, and now 2020 is might even be better.
You expect to see Conor back in soon?
Talk to him today, yeah. I literally talked to him today. He is chomping at the bit right now, and you know he's sitting back watching to see how this Tony Habib thing plays out. He doesn't think that's going to happen.
How early into it, when you see, like, okay, you meet Brock Lesnar, how long before you realize what Brock Lesnar can mean to your business? How long before you realize that with him, Ronda, Conor, probably the 3 biggest stars the UFC's produced, how long did it take you to realize it with them, that they were really that big of a deal?
Well, we didn't produce Brock. Brock was already a big star. And I thought that if this guy can fight, you know,
it's going to be a moneymaker.
People will be interested. Yeah. You know, the WWE crowd will come over and everybody else. The minute I met Ronda Rousey, I knew. I I wasn't even.
Because you weren't a believer in women's fighting.
I did not.
I wasn't either.
Didn't want to do it. Didn't whatever. I met her. She changed my mind. And look at what a rock star she's become. Then Connor, I had dinner with him one night. And literally, I got in my car, called my partner Lorenzo, and I said, let me tell you what. I don't know if this guy can fight. But if he can even throw a punch, this guy's going to be a huge superstar. His just his personality, his laugh, his, you know, everything about this kid was special.
When you do you ever get to a certain point where there's guys who you know can make you money, it gets to be so difficult to work with them that it's just not worth it to you? I mean, I know the Diaz brothers aren't easy to work with. I know you and Frank Shamrock famously fell out. But how often do you get to a point where it's like, I know you can make me a lot of money, it's not worth it to me?
There's a huge difference. Frank Shamrock's a moron. I mean, that guy, seriously. Ask anybody that's even close to that guy. I don't even know if anybody's even close to that guy. That guy's just a moron. That's totally different than most of these other fighters that you deal with. Conor McGregor seems very difficult to deal with, but he's really not. He's really not that difficult to deal with. I don't love when he shows up late to stuff.
Right.
You know?
You want him to be a professional.
But he's worth it.
Yeah.
He's actually worth it. I got guys that are a pain in the ass that aren't worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, this is what we do. This is, you know, we have to juggle egos and, you know, personalities and all these different things and make the fights that fans want to see.
Of all the guys who in recent years, you guys finally got to the point where it was like, some guys, we're going to let them walk. If they think they can have greener pastures somewhere else, good luck to you. Are there any of those that you look back on and go, man, I wish we would have held on to that guy?
Not one. No. Every time we did it, the timing was perfect. It was the right time. And believe me, if somebody walks, I don't let anybody walk unless...
That includes Mighty Mouse?
Everybody. No. Okay. I tried for years to build Mighty Mouse and get him, you know, it didn't work. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know what it did? I got him in here. He built a nice little legacy for himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And made himself interesting to another promotion. They paid him a lot of money. The guy's doing really well. He's making good money for his family and hopefully enough money that when he retires, he can live off that for the rest of his life. I'm happy for him.
When you, for the longest time, you were a no on Ben Askren. No. You bring him in, he runs his mouth enough. He gets a win over Robbie Lawler that's questionable at best.
Right.
And then he gets basically destroyed twice in a row. Is there some part of you that says, see, I told you guys, this guy isn't some magic trick. This isn't the greatest fighter like you guys think he is. Like, is there some sort of satisfaction in telling everyone, I told you so?
No. I don't have to get any more satisfaction. if I have proved to everybody that I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm talking about, I don't know what to tell you. But Ben Askren, everything in life is about timing. And it was the perfect time for Ben Askren to come in. And in that division, people got interested. He talked a lot of smack and, you know, and he was undefeated. And he believed that he was the best in the world at 170 pounds. And he got the opportunity to come in and prove himself against these other guys. And it was fun. It was fun when he was here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was fun. You know, he made some money. He got to test himself in the UFC. And
now he knows.
And I think all the fans had a good time, too. You know, so it was cool. I don't have any grudge against him. But at the time when we were talking, you see the way that he portrays himself and whatever. He was super arrogant and I wasn't ready for him then.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for him.
When did you realize that Derek was going to be a star? Did you ever think Derek Lewis would be A, fighting for a title, and B, one of the most popular guys on your roster?
Yeah, so when I told you about the meetings with Ronda and Connor, that's one way you find out. The other way you find out is when you watch these guys fight and see how they act and their interviews and how the crowd reacts to them. You get to see it. You know, like Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the first time that I saw her fight, I had my guy go get her, and you know, she went back and showered and got ready, and then I had her come sit with me for the rest of the night for the fights, and I got to talk to her and, you know, get to know her a little bit, and I knew she was going to be special, you know. And Derek's the same way. Derek, when I saw him fight, I said, man, and people love him.
Yeah. He's just a fun dude. Well, Dana, I love that you've brought the UFC back. I hope you keep coming back.
Thank you, sir.
We love having you here, man. I love being a part of this. Enjoy the show this weekend, and best of luck with all you've got coming up. Sounds like things are rolling for you, man.
I really appreciate it. Thanks. You know what I can tell in my time that I've been here? This is the MMA guy right here. This is the sports guy over here, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's in on everything else.
It's funny, I'm very much into MMA, but he's an expert on it, so I just stay the hell out of the way. I mean, there's nobody that knows more about it than him.
I kept catching myself. I was like, gee, I'm not turning my back on you. But it's great to be here. I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, man. We'll see you Saturday.
Yep.
That's UFC president Dana White. We'll be right back, guys.